Welcome to the Living Savior Church, where the preach, where the truth is preached.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies she wants to share with us.
I have one announcement, then I have a testimony.
Oh, okay.
I have actually several testimonies. I found more last night. Thank you, Jesus.
What a terrible place to have all these testimonies. I know.
Well, you know it's
Thank
Christmas.
You, Lord, for the
testimony. Yes, Lord. So you know it's Christmas here. We went down this morning to Dallas Children's Charity down at the Sheraton Dallas Hotel at 400 North Olive Street and brought home 275 gifts, which is, yes, praise the Lord. And they're all nice gifts. They come from the Margarita Society. They have a ball over in Dallas and Fort Worth anyway. So we did good. And so far we've raised $71,673, not including those gifts, praise the Lord. And we've distributed 4,291 gifts, which is praise the Lord. So anyone wants to help, well, we'd love for you to help because we're still going at it. They haven't started distributing yet at either Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange, and they do Colleyville, Grapevine, and Southlake. And then there's Salvation Army that we also do in Denton, and then Justin Community Clothes Closet. And actually, we also had Martin and Krista Remus came last night and delivered 5 bags of new clothes so from the World Trade Center. And he had already delivered 584 toys and 405 new clothes. So Justin Community Clothes Closet was definitely, they've been blessed. Okay, I want to put this right here, okay? Okay, first one, I have a praise report from Barbara that Louise got healed. His surgery was successful in El Salvador. So I got to listen to him calling into her saying, you know, praise Jesus and to thank everybody here for praying for him. Yes, Lord. Okay, Parakeet, she's a freshman in college, and she's been writing us a long time. Anytime she has problems, she writes us. And she wrote, she said, yeah, she does. And she writes us about her relationships and about her school. She just everything. And so then this last week, she wrote, I have a praise report. I asked God to help me find my math test because I had no idea where it was, and I just found it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord, she said. Yeah, she's on top of it. Okay, this guy from Ireland, he wrote and he said, Sir, my name is Kubaret Erimu, BC. I need your audio CD because I've been listening to you preaching on YouTube and that has helped strengthen my faith and got me one of my dream cars. Glory to God. So, sir, kindly help me with some of your audio CDs. God bless. He gives his address in Ireland and he writes back, just to let you know, I have received your audio CDs. Thank you so much. May God continue to bless your ministries in Jesus' name. Amen. Ireland. We got a dream car. I'm wondering what kind of car it was. I should ask that. No. Okay. This was, let's see. She got, this was a mother that wrote about her son, Joshua, and I think he's 18. I can't remember. I don't think she says it, but we've prayed for him before. She says, I'm asking for prayers for my son, Joshua, who's been sick since November 26th. This was December the 10th. I've commanded the demon of sickness to come out of him, but for some reason he's still suffering with no sleep, racking cough, and now he's having trouble breathing. He does not get this kind of sickness, and when the enemy tries to put sickness on him, he always overcomes. This time, I don't understand what is going on. He's already missed a week of work. Will you please pray for him? I'm expecting a supernatural healing. Thank you so very much, and may God bless and keep you always. Anne Marie. So we wrote back and said, we pray for Joshua, and it's done. Praise the Lord. Then she wrote back the next day. Thank you very much, Pastor Scribner, for the prayers for Joshua. He got up this morning and is moving around and will be going out to work tomorrow. I kept seeing those demons attacking him and I was binding and pleading the blood of Jesus against them. God is so good. Your prayers really did bring about the healing and I will call the ministry. Thank you for telling me. I wish you a most blessed, happy, and joyful day in the Lord. May God continue to bless and keep you in his love and care. Anne Marie. Okay. There you go. Thank you. I had to lift Christy into it. They took off her big toenails Friday, and I had to end up, I lifted her, put her in a wheelchair, and I kind of did myself under. But I'm okay now. I've had lots of people pray for me. Okay, this card. If a little kindness goes a long way, yours circles the globe.
Wow.
Yeah, yes. I always thank my God for you, 1 Corinthians 1:4. Thanks. I've been listening to your tapes and CDs since we met at the Tri-State Christian Camp in October 2004. That was right after we got married.
Yeah.
Okay, and I remember I wore high heels, and I don't know, it's a camp. I don't understand what a camp is. I have on skirts and high heels, and, you know, and I'm walking through the rocks on my high heels, and he's having to hold on to me as I wheel them all the way to where the camp's having. Yeah, it was Mennonites and some other kind of group, and it was a camp. It was a real camp that had, you know, you. I think we had a single bed to sleep in, didn't we?
Yeah.
We slept really close that night. And we were by a river. There was a river right there. It was very nice. Anyway, my son, Joe, was healed of celiac and IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, in February 2005. And we prayed and praised God over so many situations since that blessed day. Thank you, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, for all your kindness and care, Barbara and Jen. Okay, praise the Lord. I don't even want to stand on that. It was on my desk. Oops, sorry. Okay, we just got this last night. You helped me hurt this year more than anyone. Her name's Emily. I'm sending you my tithe. Until I find another church, I can no longer give money to a church that brings the movies of the world and to the church on Sunday morning to show how Jesus is like this movie. Don't worry. They take the cuss words out before they show them to the children on Wednesday night. I know, really. You taught me that God means exactly what he says. I've listened to many preachers say, quote, now that verse doesn't really mean that, end quote. How stupid I was to believe that. Can you imagine getting to heaven and God saying, well, you know, I didn't really mean what I wrote. You've taught me that sin is a serious problem. I have been listening to grace preachers who said, we are under a waterfall of forgiveness, and you don't even have to ask for it. I had lived such an evil life, I never felt I could confess my sins to another person. But God sent me a friend who had been disabled 13 years and bedbound 8 years. I was privileged to be her messenger of truth from God. She's now out of bed and looking for a job. She got saved. She had a terrible life like I did. And we constantly confess our sins, no matter how old they are, because we've never been able to do that before. It's made a tremendous difference to us both. Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of God, men depart from evil.
Amen.
Because of you, I got my fear of the Lord back. That grace teaching had taught me there's nothing to fear from God. That's not what the Bible says. Thank you for all you've done to help us move in the right direction. May the hand of God bless you with all you need. Emily.
Great. And let me tell you something. The tougher it is for God, the better he likes it.
The tougher it is for God.
Really, the tougher he is.
Oh, the tougher he is, the better he likes it.
He wants it. In fact, used to, I saw God as a man. I really didn't see him as the creator God that can do anything and that I'm responsible to him for everything I do. I didn't see all that. But I decided one day when I'm reading these awesome promises, that we can do this, just like John 14:12 says, we can do anything Jesus did, even greater works.
Yes.
Greater things than these shall you do in my name. Therefore, you can ask the Father in Jesus' name for anything, and it'll happen. Anything. And then we get off over there in Ephesians 3:20, and he says, let me introduce you to this God that can do
a
what?
Exceedingly abundant above all
So anyway, you read those kind of promises, and you think, you know, God, that means what it says. And me and you are a majority on this earth. Ain't nobody can get by with nothing. I'm your son. I can do all things. There's nothing impossible with me. So you would go around saying, and your mother said, son, always remember, Ephesians, you can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. All things. So if I can do all things, what can I do?
All things.
If I tell myself that long enough, I'll get to where I believe it. And then I think about that lady, her and her husband, that I met one night. I was talking to them about the Lord. Of course, you know, that's the main thing I talk about, Jesus. If you run into me, you're going to run into Jesus, because he goes with me everywhere I go. So anyway, I was talking to this couple about Jesus. I'm remembering who I am. And that he said, I can ask for anything. You know, so every time you run into something that's tough, say, Jesus, this is a job for you and me. We can handle this. Nothing's impossible with you and me. I know you need me on the earth, and I need you in the heavenly. So without you, I can't do nothing. And without me, you can't do nothing. Boy, if we're a team, and we believe that, boy, we can change the world. And from these testimonies, as you just heard just a few, this is just the last week, a few of these.
Yeah.
I thought about this woman whenever we was there talking, and when we got back to the house, her husband told her that he was going on home. And she said, well, I've got to stay here till tomorrow. And so anyway, after her husband drove off, she came up to me and she says, are you going to be here in town, here at this little city tomorrow? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, could I have a little bit of your time? I want to talk with you. And I said, okay. So the next afternoon, she came over to that house where I was visiting with these people, happened to work on some equipment. She said, it's obvious that you really have studied the Bible. I said, yes, ma'am, I read it quite often. I said, why? She said, my husband told you he was a Christian, didn't he? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you notice he didn't talk about Jesus, though, like you do. And he left. I said, yes, ma'am. So she said, I know my husband told you he's a Christian, but she said, he's not a very nice man to be around. That he drinks, he cusses, he smokes. Said he's just not a very nice guy. And she said, what do you think caused him to be like that? I said, I'll tell you, only one thing caused it, and that's the devil.
Amen.
I said, the devil has beat up on him, and he's living in him, and he has more control over him, and he has no idea who he is in Christ. And so the devil's just having a heyday with your husband. So she said, what can be done about it? I said, you met the right guy. The king of the universe lives right here.
Amen.
The king. Y'all know the king?
Yeah.
And he's an invisible, awesome God that nothing's impossible, right?
Right.
So he put me in there, a man that knows that nothing's impossible, me and him together, what can we do?
Amen.
Anything our mind can conceive. So I told her, I said, let's pray. And I said, this is the way you change the world, through prayer. Well, look at what Cheryl read that about that guy from Ireland or whatever. He said, you've changed the world. Where? What did he say? All around. He said, your teaching has changed the whole world. Well, I thought that's what Jesus sent us to do.
Yes.
Change the world, right?
Yes.
If Jesus told me to go change the world, what do you think I ought to be doing?
Changing the world.
And so that's what I decided to do. So anyway, I told her, I said, the way to get it changed is prayer. So I said, we're going to pray. I said, first of all, I want you to know that leading off in this prayer, you got to know that you have all power and all authority over the devil. So I read Luke 10:19-20 to her. Behold, I have given thee power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall my enemies hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not that these evil spirits have got to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. I said, when you learn it, what can you do with that powerful thing? She said, where in the world did you read that? I never read that in the Bible. I showed her. I said, it's in Luke 10, 19, and 20. And we read it again. We looked at it. She said, my lands, I didn't. So what do we do? I said, we go to the throne room of God. How did he tell me to come in? Oh, God, I don't know if I can do this or not. But what did he tell me to come in?
Boldly
to kick that devil out in the name of Jesus. I've given you all power and all authority. I knelt there on that floor and said, woman, get down here on the knees with me. We got down here and I called it and I went to heaven, to the third heaven. I said, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus, I bind you up and I command you to get out of this man, Don or whatever his name was. And I said, get out, go to the abyss, don't you ever come back again in Jesus' mighty name. I said, now Lord, fill this boy with the spirit of love, joy, and peace. And over the next few minutes, I went through all the spirits of alcohol and drugs and everything. Pornography. He was hooked on everything. I kicked all, I let her stand in the gap for him. And I just kicked all them devils out of him. And then I prayed the prayer of faith for he to be filled with the Holy Ghost and his life be changed forever. In Jesus' name. And I said, now Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I said, now that we're going to come back from the third heaven back to earth, we're back here. And so I said, now that your husband, I guarantee you'll have a brand new husband. She said, wow, I never heard such a prayer in my life. I never heard anybody pray a prayer like that. I said, well, that's why your husband hadn't been changed. Nobody knew how to do it. I said, we went to the throne room of God, the third heaven. We kicked out that devil. And I said, he has got to do what I told him to do, because everything I'm standing there commanding, or on my knees commanding that devil to come out of him, guess who's standing right there with his hand on my shoulder?
Jesus.
And whenever I command that devil to come out, can you imagine Jesus looking over the devil and says, devil, did you just hear what my son said? Did you hear what that boy said? He told you to get out of him and go to the abyss and don't you ever come back. Did you hear what he said? Do you have that kind of power?
Yes.
You do. That's absolutely right. Anyway, she'd never heard a prayer like that. So anyway, after we prayed, I got up praising the Lord, worshiping Him, thanking Him for the mighty things that only He can do. I'm so grateful, Lord, that You're my King. Thank You that You've changed this man's life forever and his wife. Lord, I just ask You to just thank You for filling him with the Holy Spirit. And I know You're going to make a great and mighty man of God out of this man and his wife. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Wow. Thank You, Lord. Somebody said that he's got a free will. He's got a free will until I pray. Once I pray, he ain't got a free will no more. Because the Proverbs clearly says that the Lord moves on the hearts of man, and He makes your heart flow like a river. And He's making this man's heart flow the way I want it to flow, because I'm praying the Word of God over him. So I'm not stepping out of my authority with this man. I'm not making him do something he don't want to do. I'm just forcing the devil to get out. And anybody in their right mind, if you can kick the devil out, if I walk in here and tell everybody in here, okay, I've just become a multi-billionaire. Got money running out my ears. I can have anything I want. I can have anything I want to. If I were to say now I'm going to give each one of y'all, if you'll come up here, I'm a multi-billionaire, folks. So I'm going to give each one of you $100 million. Now, if I said that and I said, now here is a checkbook. It shows my deposit records right here where I've got all this. Who in here would like to have $100 million? Did you know that would probably, if you were to do that at a real church, then probably some of them would say, no, he's kidding. Because we don't believe the promises of God, do we? Does God give us these awesome promises?
Yes.
Did He tell us we can have anything we ask for?
Yes.
And how come we don't ever ask for nothing? How come we never think about it? Oh, I'm sorry your husband's like that. There's not anything I can do for him. Oh, may the Lord bless you. No, that's not what you do. You kick that devil out of that guy. So anyway, she She just told me, she said, "Sir, I have never heard anybody pray a prayer like that in my life." I said, "My husband's 100 miles away." I said, "I know that, but that don't make no difference." I said, "Prayer don't have no distance." I said, "Prayer don't mean, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. When I prayed right here, I could have been anywhere. When I realized that, when Cheryl and I pray for these people, ain't nobody here that say I'm from Ireland or Sweden or whatever it is. We pray knowing that the King of Kings is in everybody everywhere, so there's not anything can hinder us from getting our prayer answered." He said, "If we don't believe." And I believe. I guarantee I believe. It's a done deal in Jesus' name. So anyway, I left. Went home. Next day I come home. Never heard from this lady. A couple months go by. One day I go to the mailbox and open the mailbox and there's a letter there in the upper left corner. It's this lady's name. And I thought, that's that woman I prayed for a couple months ago. Wonder what she's got to say. Because when you looked at the envelope, all over the envelope, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." I said, something happened. A person don't write you a letter and say, "Praise the Lord," that many times unless there's some reason to praise the Lord. You know, even a Baptist will praise the Lord if you see enough miracles. So anyway, I opened it up and praise the Lord. I've never seen anything like this in my life. She said, I got home the next day. And when you said I'd have a brand new husband, she said, I never dreamed. But she said, now for 2 months, I have had a brand new husband. He doesn't cuss anymore. He don't drink anymore. He don't do drugs no more. He was a totally different man. I mean, the works of the devil, it's amazing what he does. And then we don't believe. You know, and then somebody comes and says, well, I'm going to have Thurman pray for my husband. I need a brand new husband too. And so you come up and I pray the prayer of faith. You stand in the gap for your husband and I pray the prayer of faith. And then a month later or 2 months later, you say, you know, you prayed for my husband. It didn't change him at all. I said, if I prayed for him and you agreed with me, I guarantee he's got to be changed. He said, well, I was kind of hesitant to come up and ask you. I didn't really think it was going to work. Uh-oh. You see anything wrong with this?
Yes.
No belief. That's right. They're unbelief. The evil heart of unbelief, it will knock your blocks out from under you every time. When he says when you pray, you got to pray believing with no doubt in your heart, he means that. That's why the other day, Cheryl said, she read me a whole long half page of stuff, request from somebody.
Seven people they
wanted
to pray.
Yeah, so anyway, as we talked about it, she looked at all that. She thought, wow, that just sounds like an impossible request. Okay. And then she said, you just took a hold of that like a duck with a June bug. I mean, you grabbed that June bug by the tail. And that, you ever seen a duck chase a June bug? When that June bug hits the ground tumbling, them ducks, my mother used to have some ducks. And when that June bug would hit the ground rolling, I mean, them June bugs, them ducks was watching them June bugs fly around there, watching them. Boy, they see one of them June bugs coming in for a crash landing, them ducks. They're all the way, got their little wings flat, and they're on the little bill that goes whoosh, just standing there. And that June bug is no longer. He is down through the count. I thought to myself, you know, if that's the way we need to be with the Word of God,
yeah.
We need to know that when we pray, when you pray in faith, and that devil, he's down for the count. So tell him what to do, where to go, and how to get out. And she said, as I sat there and listened to you pray that prayer, I thought, she said, why my faith come back up? And I thought, man, there ain't no doubt about it. This prayer is going to get answered. And then here a while back, she had one like that. We've had one, and we prayed the prayer of faith. And she said, as soon as she sat down there and I started praying, she said, ooh, some kind of feeling went all over. And she said, boy, I know that prayer got answered. And sure enough, the next day they called us and told us that that prayer got answered and everything happened like it's, we wanted it to happen. Just think, every promise God made you is yes. Never, not one single time did he ever say, I will not answer your prayer. He said, you come and ask for anything, and he puts no limitations on it. That's just like Dave that night that we were flying in from Louisiana. We were over here over the Metroplex, and it's clear night back in there. We was coming from Shreveport or somewhere off over there. We'd been over there preaching that day. What?
In a tent.
In a tent. So anyway, we was coming home, and every night, since it's a short trip in a 421, it doesn't take long to fly from over there to here. I kind of like to sleep in my own bed when I can. So we were going to come over here, and as I was flying across the other controller, he said, he called me, my tail number, and said, you know, there's not anything between you and Northwest Airport, so it was 1 o'clock in the morning, or 2 o'clock in the morning, or whatever it was. And he said, you're cleared to land in Northwest. So, okay, so I was flying on, and all of a sudden I slow down about 200 miles an hour, and I lower the landing lights, and everything's going pretty good, and all of a sudden I see the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I said, what's that? And Dave said, I think that's fog, Pastor. Looks like we're running into a bunch of fog, low-level fog. I said, well, look at Denton and see what, on the computer. I said, look at Denton and see what they got. And he come back, he said, man, it's 0-0, Denton. And it's totally shut down. 0-0. It means you can't see nothing. You can't see your hand in front of you. I said, wow. He said, you want me to set you up for an approach to a lights? And I said, no. I said, if we have to go over to a lights, then we got to shoot an ILS over there, and then we got to go get somebody to get our car and bring our car back over here at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then tomorrow we'd have to come back over and get all this. I said, no. I said, we got a God that is with him, nothing's impossible.
Amen.
So I said, I'm going to ask the Lord to set me up for an approach. And then I want him to clear the sky between me and Northwest. Just open up a tunnel and let me see the end of the runway. And Dave's over there thinking, what? So anyway, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, in 3 miles, I'm going to turn left. I'm going to turn left, according to my GPS, I want that cloud to clear up, and I want that thing to be clear all the way to the end of the runway. Now, you notice my word, I want it to be clear to the end of the runway. I didn't say to the other end of the runway, I said to the front end of the runway. And so as soon as I made that left turn, and lined up, just like here, I turned. And when I lined up, that thing opened up too, and I could see Northwest Airport and the runway lights and everything just as clear as it is in this room. Just perfect. I mean, it just went right in. We went right up there and we landed. And just as I went over the fence, when I got to the end of the runway, just like I said, I'm about 10 foot off the ground. And I'm going in, and all of a sudden, everything turned foggy. I said I wanted it to be clear to the end of the runway, and boy, it was clear to the end of the runway, but then it was totally fogged, totally socked in. I let the tail come on down and the nose come on down, and we taxied and finally found the way back over to the hangar. Couldn't hardly find the hangar. We got over there and Dave said, Pastor, you know a God that I don't even know exists. But you know, he wants every one of us to know him like that. Dave knows him like that now. That was several years ago. He knows him. And he knows that he answered prayer. And he does great and awesome things. But it's amazing what you can do. But you don't think like a man and get a prayer like that answered. You think like God. You act on his word and you do what he says. Wow, is he an awesome God or is he an awesome God? That lady said that when that prayer I should pray for her husband changed his life forever.
Amen.
I mean, what do you do when you're having a problem with somebody? I mean, how does people want to respond to somebody? He wants them to fight. People want to fight with their fists. You can't win a devil's battle with your fists. You fall on your knees and you come before the throne of God When you come boldly into the throne room of God, you kick that devil out and you tell him where to go and what to do, and they'll have no unbelief at all in your heart. Believe that he's going to do it. And the tougher it is for God, the better he likes it. I mean, he loves to answer your prayer.
Yes.
He wants to see answered prayer. He wants to answer your prayer. I can tell you, I couldn't even begin to tell you all the details. But one of these days we'll go over it again. But Mike, after he learned, him and Gracie learned to pray like this. I mean, I remember that police officer they had come in there one day. He was beside himself. He was about ready to punch a button. He was ready to get out, and he didn't know what he was going to do. And he was in trouble, and everything was going wrong. Mike got him on the shoulder and said, "Come in here. I'm going to show you how to get this taken care of." And he brought him in there and put him on the floor on his knees. And they prayed the prayer and they kicked out the devil and they done everything. And they told the Lord exactly what they wanted, the money to come in for his schooling and everything. And I'm telling you, when Mike said, that guy just like me, I'm sure he said, "Wow, I never heard a prayer like that in my life either." But it did. It worked. I mean, it worked and it worked and it worked. And Mike, the next time he saw that guy, every prayer they had prayed, he got answered, and that guy, he's still a police officer. In the whole Argyle Metroplex, our area here. When you learn who you are in Christ, then you realize there's no limitations in God. You can pray for anything, just like he said, "Come and ask me for anything, and I will do it." Anything. The devil's out there to mess you up, to do everything wrong he can. But remember, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And if he comes to destroy the works of the devil, he destroyed. So don't let that devil beat upon you. Don't even be hesitant. If we only believe, only believe, only believe. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Over here at the airport where I used to keep my 421 all the time. I walked in there one day, and as I walked in, there was a guy there with a little puddle jumper, like a little Cub of some kind. I don't remember what kind of little airplane. A little two-seater, one behind the other. And whenever I walked up there, I said, "Something wrong with you, sir?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I had a wreck in a car pickup here a few years ago, and it messed up my leg, and said I have trouble walking. It's kind of painful." So they had to go in there and put some pins and screws in it, but said, "It's never been without pain." I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Well, sure, I'm a Christian." I said, "Well, the God I serve, his name Jesus Christ, you know him?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, you know, he's the healer and he's the miracle worker. He's promising he'd do all these things for us." I said, "Why don't you ask him to fix it and he'll fix it?" He said, "You mean you think God would fix my leg?" I said, "No, I don't think he will. I know he will. He made a promise and he can't lie." So I said, "Come over here, son." He came over there and I said, "Kneel down on that tire." So he puts his knees on that tire and held his hands there on the side of the airplane. I said, "Father, I want to thank you for your son. I thank you for blessing this boy, and I thank you for making me the promises that I can ask for anything and you'll do it. I want to thank you, Lord, that I remit all of his sins. I thank you for cleaning him up and making him perfect. The devil has no hold now to withhold him." I said, "Devil, I command you to get out. Leave this boy alone. Go to the abyss and don't ever come back. Now, Father, you said in your word, Jeremiah 1:12, you said you watch over your word and you're ready to perform your word. You watch over your word." Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
So I said, "Father, I thank you for fixing this young man's leg, taking away all his pain, no pain, no more. He's going to be able to walk perfect. And I thank you for fixing his leg. I thank you for doing it. Just a wonderful Jesus overhaul on this leg from top of his head to the bottom of his feet, making everything work perfect. I said, now, son, do you believe that the prayer I prayed, that God heard our prayer? He said, of course he did. God hears our prayer. But he said, I had never dreamed of asking for the things you asked for. I said, well, your God's not big enough. You need to serve the living God, the true God.
Amen.
I said, he promised we could ask for anything. So I said, the God we serve, there's nothing wrong with him. He can fix that leg and he can fix anything on this airplane or anything in your body. He can fix it all. He said, wow. So I said, thank you, Lord. And he said, Lord, thank you. It's done. And I turned and walked off. A couple months later, I happened to look up and that boy was, I thought, that looks like that boy that I prayed for. So I went back there and I said, son, I said, you're the boy that was at the airport, right? He said, yes, sir, I sure was. That was me. I said, and we prayed a prayer of faith for you. He said, you sure did. I said, so what did the Lord do for you? He said, the second you said, thank you, Lord, the minute you said, thank you out there, said, my pain went away. He said, I have not had a pain in my leg since you prayed. Does your God answer prayer?
Yes.
He does, huh?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to, in fact, talk about that out there at that airport, that same airport. One afternoon, Dave and I was working again on the 421 down at Jack's shop. We were doing an annual on it, what we were doing. We was working on this airplane, and all of a sudden this little red and white airplane pulled in up out the front. And this man and his wife get out of this little airplane, and they walk up there, and I see something on the side of his head. I told David, I'm going to go see what's wrong with that guy. So I got down off the airplane, walked over there, and I walked up to him, and I saw this big old growth on his neck, on his head. I looked at him there, and I said, what is that on your head? I said, I recognize you. You keep this airplane parked right beside mine up there, don't you? He said, yeah, I do. He said, I park it right beside yours every day. And I said, I looked at that, and I said, what is that on your head? And he said, it's cancer. But he said, I got an appointment Thursday to go take it off. I said, are you a Christian? He said, of course I'm a Christian. I said, well, why don't you let Jesus take it off? He does a whole lot better job, and he don't leave no scars, and he don't charge you nothing. I said, you know, that ought to be enticing to get anybody to use Jesus instead of the hospital. He said, well, you think he'll take it off? What is this deal with these promises that says yes and amen? Do I believe he'll take it off? What are you giving me a break? Do you believe I believe he'll take it off? Of course I know he'll take it off. And the wilder, the more violent you get, the better Jesus likes it. Do you know that? He likes for you to get violent with his word. What? You don't think that my God can take that off? What are you talking about, guy? You know he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. There ain't nothing impossible with my God. Nothing. He can do anything. So what do you mean? Do you believe he can fix your leg? Do you think he can take a cancer off your neck or off your head? Of course he can take it off. All you got to do is believe. He said, why? I ain't never seen nobody talk as bold about the word as you do. I said, well, I read it all the time, and so what's in my heart just comes out of my mouth.
Yes.
So I said, can I pray for you? His wife said, please do. So I reached up and laid my hand on his head with those cancers on there, and I said, and Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command and demand that those tumors go away and follow him and don't leave any scars. Be careful how you pray.
Yeah.
You know, you get what you believe. If you pray in faith, it'll happen just like you say. So anyway, I told him, thank you, Lord, for healing this boy. So I go back over and go back to work on the 421. The next day, me and Dave was out there working on the airplane again. And this guy come by there, and he saw us in there. He stopped and jumped out and run over, and he said, I got to tell you something. He said, yesterday after you prayed for me, he said, we were leaving, going home. And my wife looked up and said, she looked up at that thing and said, did something happen on your head? And he said, I looked up and felt of it, and when I did, I realized that cancer was loose on the side of my head. And said, I moved it a little bit, and I said, that cancer fell off of my head right into the sea. Right into the seat of the airplane. And he said, my wife looked up and she said, honey, there's not even a scar. It's a little bit lighter color, but there's not a scar or nothing. I mean, that thing fell off on the seat. That was just one afternoon. That's just one afternoon's work. But here's this crazy guy over here saying, what? You want that to go away and you hadn't prayed for it yet? What kind of a Christian are you anyway? Don't you believe God when he said he'll answer our prayer? Don't you believe him? Obviously we don't. Isn't that something? I mean, he's the one made me the promises, right? And you can come and ask me for anything and I'll do it. Ask me for anything. What, ladies and gentlemen, what is wrong with us? Tony, what's wrong with us? Isn't it awful? What's wrong with us, guys? I think it's time we get up and get rid of that unbelief, don't you? The only way you're going to get rid of the unbelief is to read the Word. Mm-hmm. Study the Word. You want to get rid of your unbelief?
Yes.
Then to tell the Lord, Lord, I want you to forgive me for this unbelief, and I'm kicking this devil out of me in Jesus' name. That's good. That's okay. No problem.
Please take this. I renounce the unbelief, Lord, and pray.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I turn the Holy Ghost loose inside my body.
Lord, I turn the Holy Ghost loose inside my body.
Now you use me. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Use me for your glory. Let's go do something good for the Word of God now, Lord. Amen. I'm here, Lord. I'm yours. I'm ready to get rid of that unbelief devil, aren't you?
Yes.
I don't want him. It says the unbelief. Just think. These promises, they're yours. But if you don't use them, you know, just like us, there's so many people that come to this church that are getting older. And when you get older, if you're not careful, some things stop working. I'm serious. So many things quit working because you quit praying. That's just like the other day. I mean, Sharon took me to have my toenails trimmed the other day because I can't reach down good enough as I used to. I'm not quite as limber, so I thought, okay, I'll just let somebody else trim my toenails. So I had Sharon run me up to the toenail place, and she said, sure. So we run up to the toenail place, and they cut my toenails, no problem. Then when I got ready to get up and go, this girl was helping me put my shoes back on. I moved my foot out like this, and it's not working real good, so I thought, well, I'll lean down like this to get my shoe back on. And when I started over like this, I just started right on down. I thought, uh-oh, something's wrong here. So that girl grabbed me and Sharon grabbed me and they just set me back upright. And I said, I'm glad y'all were there, but something's wrong. And Cheryl told Cheryl about it when she got on. She's off to a doctor, Christie's doctor, and he said, that's the cause of dopamine?
Yeah, aging of the brain, and you don't have the dopamine that you need in your brain.
Yeah, I said, the dopamine, you don't have enough dopamine in your brain, so it's causing you to tilt over and you're not be able to hold yourself up. So guess what I started praying for?
Yeah.
Dopamine.
Of course. I didn't know my body needed dopamine. Nobody had ever told me I needed dopamine. So somewhere I missed that. So I told the Lord, I need some dopamine. However you say it, whatever it is, Lord, fill me up with dopamine. I need this thing to work. So
it's working,
too. It's working, I guarantee you.
Preach three verses now.
That's right.
You preach three services in a row.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
You haven't preached in months.
Woo!
Praise the Lord, God.
Well, you know, if I need dopamine, Lord, if I don't know I need it, how do I ask for it? Another guy told me, also a friend of mine that's a doctor, he told me that I needed, what was that stuff in that little white bottle? The guy told me I needed
magnesium.
Yeah, a doctor friend of mine told me, he said, when you get your age, I mean, your body quits making magnesium. So he said, you need to pray and ask God to put it back in there. I thought, holy cow, Lord, what am I doing here, Lord? I need a Jesus overall, Lord, from right here to right down here with my toenails. So, if we don't know to pray, our loved ones get where they can't do what they used to do. And so we fuss at them, thinking they ought to be able to do it, but they can't help it. I mean, I couldn't help it since I was falling over. I couldn't help it because I was having trouble speaking. But now when I start praying for magnesium and dopamine, I can do better. So, if everything else fails, you just walk up to them if they're having any kind of problem. Say, you look like you're having this little problem, so I'm just going to lay hands on you. The scripture said, lay hands on the sick and you'll get well. So I command in your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your toenails that everything you need in your body be produced at the right amount so you can get up, walk, and run and play.
Amen.
Is there anything wrong with that? Is our bodies going to wear out? They are, unfortunately. I hate to say that. But they are going to wear out. But that don't mean you can't pray and change things in the process. But if you don't pray and ask for it, guess what you don't get? You don't get it. But if you pray and believe. Wow. Yeah, you're right, John. I had a service. This today would be three Sundays back that I was going to do now. And I preached a I preached about nearly all the heathen fuel yesterday. Praise God, praise God, praise God. What time is it? 3:23. I guess like Dave said the other day, nobody ever told me I had to preach 4 hours, did they? I don't have to preach 4 hours. I could preach an hour. I could preach 30 minutes. You know, you can't ever tell. And sometimes if you come get here just right in a 30-minute sermon, you might learn more in 30 minutes than you learn in the rest of your life. You can't ever tell. I mean, I've had people tell me that. In fact, I had a man come up here the other day that I was preaching and I made some comments. And of course, we had about an hour service. He came up here after the Lord and he said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been a member of a Baptist church all my life. And he said, I'm 70 years old, or whatever he said. And he said, I have learned more at this service today in the last hour than I've learned in the last 30 years. He said, I never heard anybody preach on the stuff you preach on. Never. So if I'm preaching what the Word says, and if you ever listen to any of my teaching, you got to know that I'm teaching exactly what God's Word says.
Yes,
I mean, some of the hard things that I teach, I wouldn't dare step out and say, this is the way this works if I didn't have the Word of God to back me up.
Amen.
Because when people say, no, you're not. Just like that lady a while ago. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, that's not what it means? Yeah, you've heard them say that, haven't you? It's just like, I remember one time when, I'll even say the guy's name, because I love him. He's a great guy. Wayne Garbus. He was a church administrator of Lakeland Baptist Church. He was a great man of God. I mean, he loved God with all his heart. He was just a sweetheart. Him and his wife both. They were Carly and they were just a lovely couple. And I was in his Bible study class one day. He's teaching the Bible. We're over there in the book of Genesis. And it says, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yes, yes.
Some of y'all read that, haven't you?
Yes.
And I said, Brother Wayne, that says there that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said, well, Reverend, that's not what it means.
Yes.
I said, well, if that's not what it means, then why is that what he said? Why is it God, that this infinite, awesome, magnificent God that we serve can do anything? Surely he wouldn't make a disclaimer like that, that I'm going to say I don't believe that, or that's not what he says. But he said, well, I said, according to that, he said, God clearly said there that he hardened Pharaoh's heart so he could do what he wanted him to do. And he said, but never that really, you know, God would never harden somebody's heart. I said, then my God, why would he say such a thing then? So I'm totally confused. If he had just said, you know, I don't understand it, but it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart, so he must have hardened his heart. I could have went with that. Couldn't you?
Yes.
But if he says, clearly, I hardened Pharaoh's heart to bring glory and honor to my name.
Yes.
Then that's what he did. Wow. Ain't that something?
Yes.
Jan's wife over in Norway asked you, can you hear that also?
The what name?
Jan's wife over in Norway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jan, the owner of the TV station, when me and Gerald went to Norway the first time, I'm teaching about 2 hours on TV, and then we go to lunch. And as we're driving to lunch, she said, let me ask you a question, Thurman. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, when the Word of God says that an evil spirit from the Lord was sent to Paul, to Saul, to torment him, to King Paul, or King Saul. She said, what do you think that means? I said, it means exactly what it says. So you believe that that evil spirit was from the Lord and it was sent because of his disobedience. I said, let me ask you a question. You have a nice, intelligent thought here going. If it says that God sent a tormenting spirit to torment Saul because of the disobedience, what would you think? She said, well, that's what it says. I said, if that's what it says, that's what it means. She said, so you really believe that God sent a tormenting spirit to torment Saul? I said, yes. She said, I've asked every pastor that's ever come over here at this talk on our station to answer that question. And you're the first one to ever answer to the way God's Word said. Let me tell you, I really don't think God likes for you to make your own interpretations. I think he does it a certain way, and he wants you to repeat it just like he did. And that's what I do. If I don't repeat it just like he said it, then I want you to hold me accountable. Remember, what you said is not what God said. But I want to say what God said, and I want what I say to be exactly what he said, and I want it to be just... But I know that if he watches over his word, and he reads and performs his word, if his word don't match what he says, then I ain't going to get nothing done. Y'all understand where I'm coming from?
Yes.
He gave you all power and all authority on this earth. All power and all authority. You can do all things. Nothing's impossible. Only believe. If we really believe, we could speak these things into anyone and see a miracle every time you prayed if you only believed. But if you don't believe, you got a spirit of unbelief, and it won't work. But that young boy that he was talking about here, when he walked in that door, when I walked back there and talked to him, that boy, I've seen him 2 or 3 times in the last few years, but every time I do see him, I says, how's your leg and everything doing? He said, haven't had not one single pain. Now, just think how many years he'd had this pain and the doctors is just when you think about him having all that pain, and I'm sure most of you already know this, but just a few months ago, right there at the end of that pew, I tripped and broke my right hip. I mean, right there. I mean, it just happened, and I went to the Lord, and I told him I need him to help me fix it. Cheryl was in Oklahoma. She came down from Oklahoma, took me. Colorado. Yeah, she was in Colorado. Yeah, she took me to the doctor. And when they took me to the doctor x-rayed it and said, it's broken. And so then I said, well, what are we doing now? He said, well, we're going to do an MRI to make sure it's really broken. So they sent me down to an MRI place. They check it. It's broke. Now then, Mr. Shooter, it's down to one thing, surgery. Got to have to put some screws in that. You got to fix it. Can't do nothing else. You got to have it fixed. So I come home. As I try to walk, it's painful. Have you ever tried to walk on a broke leg? Let me tell you, don't try it, because it ain't no fun. Ask the Lord to make you strong and healthy everywhere you go, so you don't have to go through none of this nonsense. But anyway.
Well, that's what was wrong with that man when the Spirit hit me in the front when he prayed. He had had that same surgery and had three long steel pins put into it because he broke the head of his femur just like he did.
Yeah.
And he was left and had to use a cane and couldn't bear the pain. And after he prayed, he got him.
Yeah, he sure did. The thing about it is, the difference between me and that guy went and had the surgery, and then he was in pain and suffering. Instead of me going to having the surgery, I went directly to the Lord. Sometimes it pays a good dividend to go direct to the boss. Sometimes you just have to go direct to the boss. So then I went direct to the boss, and I said, Lord, you made this body. I gave it to you 2,000 years ago. when I was 11 years old. So I'm thanking you and praising you for fixing my leg. In Jesus' name. And guess what he done? He told me, he said, if you will trust me completely. What does it mean to trust him completely? That doesn't mean going to a doctor, does it? So I said, okay, Lord, I trust you completely, so I'm going to go in here, I'm going to let you fix my leg, and we're not going to have no surgery, we're going to put no screws in it. I'm going to trust you, and you alone I'm going to trust. And so I did. And, of course, Cheryl, she said, are you sure you know what you're doing? I said, yes, honey, I know what I'm doing. I said, I'm going to call on Jesus to fill in where I'm short. He's going to fix my leg. And so I try to get up or get out of the bed. When I put the foot down, put some pressure on it, it goes down a little. She said, I don't see no limping. So you're going to have surgery. that girl, Lord, what did I do with this girl? What did I do with this woman that you gave me, Lord? She tried to talk me out of this. I am not going to be talked to.
Not gonna have something happen.
So anyway, we didn't have no surgery.
No, until
Jesus showed up.
That's right.
Jesus showed up and done surgery on my leg. He didn't charge me nothing. It didn't do no pain, and I watched the whole operation take place. And he fixed it all. And you've been watching me run around here. You get stronger every day.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for making my eyes 20/10. That's what I need next.
Right.
I need to be able to see 20/10. Up close forward, night and day. I need perfect eyesight. I thank you, Lord, that you fixed my hip. And I'm so grateful for that. But, Lord, we are so grateful that you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and God of Gods. And nothing's impossible with you. Help us, Lord, to get rid of this spirit of unbelief. Like this gentleman said back there a while ago, Lord, take this unbelief out of us. We need to get rid of this spirit of unbelief. And then we need to learn to pray for everybody, for everything. I mean, anytime you got a problem with either yourself or one of your loved ones, pray for them. You know, I mean, pray. And the older you get, the more prayer you need. That's just the way life is. The older you get, the more prayer you need to be able to walk an abundant life. It doesn't mean you can't get around and do things, but you really don't want to just get around and do things. You want to be able to really do some stuff.
Amen.
And you gotta learn to think like God. If you don't think like God, you will never see the answers to these big time prayers. You don't get much when you say, "Okay, God, I got a problem here with Thurman's leg, and if it be your will, Lord, will you please heal Thurman?" No, he won't. Wow. What do y'all think? You think we need to get rid of that spirit of unbelief?
Yes.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for giving us all power and all authority over that devil of hell. We command that beast to leave, to get out of this church, to get out of our body, go to the abyss and never come back. And we thank you and praise you for filling us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill us to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. We want the spirit of unbelief to be gone and the spirit of love and joy and peace to be filling us from the top down, from the bottom up. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit. We want you to use us for your glory. Now, Lord, here we are. We're yours. We're giving ourselves to you to do whatever you want to do. Use us for your glory and put whatever we need in these bodies, these older bodies we own, and even the younger ones. They need some certain things, too. So, Lord, put in our bodies what we need and take out what we don't need. Help us to pray when we eat, Lord, to put everything in our food we need and everything we don't need, take it out.
Yes.
So that we can walk in power and authority and be blessed in everything we do, and that our bodies will work like they're supposed to, and they'll be young and healthy, and we'll be able to live on and strong and healthy. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.